Evening, one and all. Hey, Wednesday, halfway through another week, and this is me, Barry, with another book and a chat. Well, the weather here in Connecticut, where I live, is we've seen a bit sort of a couple of storms the last couple of days. Of course, we had all that really nice weather a couple of weeks ago, and I always say to my mother and my family living in England, it takes about 10 days for the weather to sort of reach from the east coast of America, where I am, to over in the UK. And it's funny how it works. So, of course, you get a lot of weather of continental interior from Europe sort of coming like that. But they've had some really hot weather. And I was sort of speaking to them today, speaking to my mother, and said, she said, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. It's so hot. I said, you're okay. A week's time is going to be fine. Well, next week, let's see if I'm right. But it's funny how it goes. And how it goes is what I got today on my show, because I have a guest who, in the last 30-odd years, has guided thousands of abused women to restore their sanity, freedom, and perspective and power and self-love in many ways. She's also done a non-profit foundation, which we'll get into, and a sort of low-cost Reclaiming Me program online as well. But I better introduce my guest, and then we can talk about this. I have today on the show Dr. Tracy Kemble. Hi, Tracy. How are you doing?
Fine. How are you? It's so nice to be here.
It's great to have you. And as I was saying before the show starts, we had a couple of storms. Well, sort of whizzed past us about half an hour ago, and the lights went. I thought, oh my goodness, not again, here we go, internet goes down, because you know, these days with the internet goes and everything, you know, I can't use the phone, I can't use the mobile, I can't use the internet. Always amazes me when you sort of get trouble with the in our case Comcast or something like that, and they say, well, you go online and sort it out. Well, hang on, if I've lost the internet, how am I going to go online, you know? Doesn't quite work out like that, but never mind. Anyway, great to have you on the show, and we're going to talk about this new book you've got out. But before that, a lot of the stuff you sort of write about, you know, helping women and abuse and everything like that, from your own experience.
This is true. I always say that in all of my recovery programs, somehow I've ended up as the first drop of the Petri dish. So I'm always ultimately working on my own next best definition of self. And over the years, the results of my life have turned into books to help other people and programs of recovery and empowerment to help other people. And I've been doing it for 30 years, but still to this day, I remain the first drop in the Petri dish.
It's interesting because, yeah, we have obviously in, what have we got now, coming up to 1700 shows odd now, I'm sure it is. Yeah, we've had quite a few people written books about physical abuse, sexual abuse, even religious abuse on the show and stuff like that. And one thing I always find is, as well as helping other people, it acts as a healer for that person who's writing it. Is that what you found when you started?
Yeah, you know, all of my writing actually came from that very cathartic place of journal writing. So I've always been a journal keeper. You know, I learned something very young in my life where it says a life worth living is a life worth writing about. And though at that time I was like, I'm just a kid, I don't know. I just always learned to kind of unclog my brain in the safety of a journal. And so that's where all of my writing stems from.
Interesting. So it's like you almost do a brain dump into your journal. And then, yeah, obviously you can pick it up with that. That's great if that's the case. I mean, and is that something you recommend? Because I'd have thought that would have been quite helpful for people.
Yeah, I think that journaling, that, you know, there's an energetic philosophy in healing, and that the reason that sometimes we don't get the information we need to create change is, number one, we're not ready, or number two, there's just no space, that we're so committed to the narratives and the stories of the past that we tell ourselves that there's no room for that new information to take residency in your emotional system. And so when you learn to brain dump or mind dump, whatever you want to call it, when you open up that faith, the Vashem law of prosperity kicks in, and then the information has somewhere to go. And so I think that, you know, unclogging your mind by dumping your thoughts into your journal is really, really important.
Before we talk about your new book and introduce everybody to a new word, introduce me to a new word. One of the things that I've come up against, it's actually even more so since I've been in America since like 2000 when I came over, is you get people who, because perhaps they grew up in an abusive environment, because their mother or what have you, you know, she saw her mother being abused, that when it, this person, when they get married, they tend to think it's the normal. My mother had to go through it, so I can't complain if I'm going through it. Do you come across that?
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of people, they've asked me, you know, how did you get to be an expert in narcissistic abuse? And I always say, because I majored in dysfunction in life, that my personal circumstance, that I was raised in an environment where narcissism was one of the personality traits of my familial unit. And so therefore, I thought these behaviors and characteristics were normal. So I did what's called normalizing, and I normalized the behavior. So when I merged into my adulthood, it was natural for me to be with this type of a personality and think that, oh, well, I guess everybody is just this way. Yeah. It never meant that I liked it. It never meant that I enjoyed it and it didn't, you know, esteem me or prosper me in any way, but it was normal. And that's why in healing and in recovery and traction in life, it takes, you know, redefining what your normal is.
Yeah, very, very, very true. Very true indeed. And one of the things is as well, I think, especially for females, is not always though, is that they're worried about moving away from a relationship, because you tend to get, well, what will this person say? You know, how can I tell my family? That sort of thing. There's a French singer called Charles Aznavour, had a big hit. I think his biggest hit was She, which was in Four Weddings and a Funeral, amongst other things, I think. And he had a song, I had a line in it, and I learnt this sort of in my late teens, in my early 20s and stuff like this. And the line goes, you have to learn to leave the table when love's no longer being served. And too many people, I think, stay on in something that they shouldn't stay on, because whether they're scared or whether they're afraid what people might say, etc., like that, and they end up in something that they shouldn't be in because of this fear even of the unknown.
Yeah, you know, there are many reasons why people stay in relationships. Sometimes we stay because it's our normal. Sometimes we stay because of economic reasons. Sometimes we stay because our esteem has been so annihilated that we're convinced that if we leave, that the world will swallow us up and we will, not literally not be able to survive in life. And that's why this emotion of terror sometimes affects victims. Or we stay because many times what we call being in love is nothing more than being in habit.
Yep.
And so people will stay out of habit.
Very true. Very true indeed. Your new book, Narc Shun Ari. NarcTionary. Narc Shun Ari. The Narcissist. Yeah. You say
narcissistic.
Yes, that one. Abuse Recovery Dictionary. Now, the idea from this came when you were working with a client, wasn't it?
Yes. Well, what happened is the way that I wrote this book is, you know, I'm a writer, and normally I put out a book every 2 years or something of that nature, because it takes a while to put one out. But this book actually came out so quickly And what happened was that I had a girlfriend of mine, and she called me one day, and she had revealed to me that she was suddenly found herself going through an awful divorce, and her head was just spinning. And I knew for many years that her partner, her husband in life, was a narcissist. He was a grandiose narcissist. So those are the ones that are really easy to pick up on. Anyway, so when it happened, of course, I wasn't overly surprised that it happened, but she called me and she said, "Oh my God, I know that you specialize in this stuff, Tracy." And she's like, "And I just cannot believe what happened to me." And so she starts describing it. And she's like, "You know, everything was good with us. And then until one day it wasn't. He literally just came home and said he's done and blah, blah, blah." And I said, "Oh yeah." And I said, "Well, that's called the discard." And she goes, "What's the discard?" I said, "The discard is the third phase of the narcissistic cycle, where the narcissist has gotten all the fuel they can out of you. And so they literally put people out like trash, as though we're nothing." She's like, "Oh my God, I can't believe that. That's exactly what happened, blah, blah, blah." And then she says, "You know, when we first got together, he made all these promises, and he acted, you know, like we were so connected. And I don't understand how, you know, how, what happened to all those promises?" And I said, "Well, you were given faux promises and you were fake future." And she says, "What's fake future?" And I said, "Fake futuring is a technique that the narcissist uses to get you to fall in love with them."
Yep.
"So they become a constant fuel source." "A what? A fuel source? So what's a fuel source?" "A fuel source is the energy that the narcissist has to extract from you in order to feel visible for themselves." And then the third thing she said was, "You know, and what was so frustrating is all the years trying to solve our problems, he would talk and talk and talk and talk." And she said, "But nothing ever got resolved." And I said, "Well, that's because you got word saladed." She says, "What's a word salad?" And I said, "Salad is when the narcissist throws so many words into a conversation that you don't even remember what you're really talking about." And so she goes, "Oh my God, Dr. Tracy, you need to take your words and I wish you would just put them in a book for we newbies, and so that we could just reference and find out what's going on." And I said, "Well," and so I literally went to my phone, and when I went to my recovery, I had started that list. There were so many things that I was dealing with that never had a name, and I categorized them. I put them in alphabetical order. I cataloged them to be either an abuse word or an abuse trauma word or a recovery word. And then I put a self-assessment test in the book, and it's just a really great one-shot stop for being able to kind of get your legs underneath you and give all the many ghosts of narcissism a name so that you can grab hold of it and start to serve eviction notices.
Yeah, I was going to ask about ghosts because I saw the name the ghosts and stuff like that. In what tense do you mean that them as ghosts?
So my mom raised me with this really neat tool, and it went like this. We call her our mom's wisdom, those unique pieces of advice that my mom gave us. And and so one of the things that she said is, when we were very young, she said, "You know, Tracy, when our pain doesn't have a name, it's like fighting a ghost." Grab hold of it and pull it into our life and love it and mend it and fix it, or if it doesn't best serve us, push it out of our life. But when something has a name, you're able to grab hold of it. You're able to pull it into your life, look at it, examine it, mend it, heal it, love it. And if it doesn't best serve you, clearly remove that from your life. And so what I realized in the world of narcissism is that one of the reasons we end up so upside down is because there's so many dynamics and techniques and shenanigans and abuses that are exclusive to the world of narcissism, that if we don't have a name for it, we can suffer from that ghost for years and years. But as soon as it has a name, you're able to call the person on what they're doing and stop the cycle.
Very, very true. Very good indeed. I can imagine. I'm sitting here nodding my head in agreement with you, because that's it. If, it's like if you can name something, then it's not a mystery so much anymore. But if you can't name it, as you say, it's a ghost. It's something you don't know. You can't sort of define in any way.
Exactly.
Terrific. Do you sort of put examples round, you know, what you describe, you know, so people can sort of relate to what they're reading?
Well, I use every word. I do put a sentence.
Right.
I use it in sentence so that people can get an understanding of what it looks and feels and sounds like in everyday life. So I do that. I don't go into any recovery because I have a comprehensive one-year recovery program.
Okay.
It's been going on 30 years. We've never missed a single week in the recovery journey. It's called Reclaiming Me. And so for the actual steps on recovery, they would have to join the program that I mentioned. But this is just literally gives name to the ghost, to the pains. Let's call it the ghost of pains, to the pains of narcissism. It clearly defines it so that you can wrap your brain around it. And then I use it in a sentence so that that is very applicable for our reality base for what the victim of narcissism is experiencing.
I'm glad there's something like this, because one of my pet peeves when I was working was the use of acronyms all the time. I mean, when I grow up, if we had a document and it had an acronym in there, the first time you used it, you put in brackets afterwards what it stood for.
Yes.
You know, and then you could use it after that. But I so many meetings I've sat down and literally nobody, I could see other people didn't understand what was being talked about, you know, the ABC and the XYZ, sort of, yeah, all these things. And I've in the past had to stop meetings and say, yeah, can you please tell me what that means? Because
yeah.
Nobody does. Yeah, they nobody knows what it is, and they're all sort of, oh yeah, nodding donkeys, you know. Oh yeah. And then you ask somebody else, what does it mean? And they don't know, but they're not going to say anything, sort of thing. But it's great that you've got something like that, that people most like might have been, you know, somebody's talked to them about stuff, or they've read another book about stuff. The fact that you're able to sort of go through, that's why I asked about bringing it into a sentence, which is the ideal way that you, when they read your book, they can see, oh, that's the word. That's what it means. Okay, now I understand. Because unless somebody tells them, it's just another buzzword sometimes.
Yeah, and you know what? I have this thing that, you know, even in my business communications, that it's really people, that it's really important that people are aligned on the same page of, in order to have effective communication. And, you know, when people say to me, and I'm not one who believes in using globalization words. And so if somebody comes into me and they say, oh my gosh, everyone is upset. And I'll ask two questions. I'll say, well, first off, define everyone.
Yes.
And secondly, define upset. Because, you know, we throw these words around and, you know, everyone, oh, there's three people. Okay, that's not everyone. That's three people. And define upset, you know, are they picketing in the front? Are they
right.
Or are they crying off stage? I mean, you know, define what you mean, because, you know, it's really important that we understand what we're dealing with. And healthy relationships are one where we can take pause and take that time to be able to get on the same page.
As well as your books, you as I mentioned at the start, you've got this nonprofit Wynn Foundation. What's that about?
So my Wynn Foundation is my labor of love. This is where our classes of recovery are located. I run a class. It's called Reclaiming Me. It's available. We meet on Zoom twice a week. And it's we work all year long so that it's a very affordable recovery program. Anybody who attends it for the first time is our guest to come see our wonderful environment. And then after that, it's only $10 a week. And we make it affordable because, you know, there are certain things that we need to put a price point on and have people pay what's worth the program. But there is no value that can be put on on offering recovery from somebody who's been traumatized by abuse, and to have somebody not be able to afford honest, good help is not acceptable. It's a non-negotiable for me. So the WIN Foundation is the organization that helps us raise the money to keep our abuse recovery programs at only $10 a class.
That's great. And you, as you said at the beginning, you also do this online thing. Is that a similar sort of thing? Reclaiming Me?
Yeah, Reclaiming Me. It takes place every Tuesday and Wednesday night on the Zoom classrooms. And if people wanted more, they can go to my website and they can click on the link that says Reclaiming Me, and we can send them out the information.
Okay. What sort of response have you had from NARC Shinari?
Oh, it's doing well. You know, it's one of those things. Do you really want a book about abuse to be doing well?
No. Yes, exactly. I know what you mean. But yeah. I mean, if you get somebody write to you or email you back saying, you know, how it helped them and how they're now understanding a bit more, that makes it all worthwhile to me.
It does. It's going really well. The book is doing, it's doing very, very well. We're in the bestsellers right now, which tells me that it's a very important subject. And, you know, it's a very easy to read reference manual. And it's one of those things that if you're in a blurry relationship and you're like, am I with a narcissist? It just helps you get to those answers very clearly. And I remember years ago when I began my recovery, somebody came up to me and they handed me a book. I think it was called like The Malignant Narcissist or something of this nature. And I read it. I'm a big reader, and I read it. I was so discombobulated by the time I got through the book because it was, you know, first off, my brain was in a brain fog anyway. And then secondly, I resisted the notion that I was with a narcissist because what was not explained in the book is that, and this is many years ago, is that narcissism is a spectrum disorder. And so it's not like being pregnant where you either have it or you don't. Mm-hmm. You all have what's called healthy narcissism. But as it sits on a spectrum, you know, as it goes on up the spectrum, it then goes into narcissistic characteristics, which are very difficult people. Then it verges on up the scale to narcissistic personality disorder, and these are very problematic people. And then as it merges on up the scale, then goes into antisocial personality disorder, aka sociopath and psychopath. And these are just dangerous people that we need to stay away from.
Right.
And at the opposite end of the scale, at the opposite end of narcissistic abuse trauma, is something called self-love deficiency disorder. And it's the reason, that is the answer as to why, you know, people would say, why am I attracted to a narcissist and why is a narcissist attracted to me? It's because they're the opposite sides of the coin of trauma. And both people are living with a trauma base in them, a trauma pain in them. And that familiarity in one another is what attracts each other to each other.
Good indeed. Have you got another book on the go? You're working on another book at the moment?
I am. I'm working on another book, and I think it will be, you know, I have what is called the Feminine Boss Academy and Society. And so beyond my abuse recovery work, I also do lots of empowerment work for women. And my academy teaches women how to become the boss of their bee with feminine energy. And we have a big annual women's conference in September called Discover the Divine. And it's just such a lovely time. We go to Greece together as a group.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, about 100 women from around the globe show up. So anyways, my next book is called Miraculous Manifesting. And it's learning about how to align with the laws of nature, the laws of attraction of the universe, so that we can start to manifest our life quickly. Because, you know, I'm 59 years old and I'm like, I don't have 10 years for my dreams to come true. I need them now.
You're right. Well, it's been fascinating chatting to you, and I'm sure, you know, looking at the book and the sort of stuff you do with it, I'm sure it's good. It's a sort of book that's going to help loads and loads and loads of people, even if it's just understanding what they're going through or what they could be happening with them right now. But what I'm going to do now is actually hand the show over to you so you can tell everybody where people can find more about you and about your books.
Oh, that's so nice. Okay, so my name is Dr. Tracy Kemble. The way you can find me, well, if you're a website person, my website is drtracy.tv. It's drtracy.tv. My recovery program is called Reclaiming Me, and you can just click on the link there. The book is found on Amazon under Narctionary, just like dictionary, only for narcissism. So it's called Narctionary. And it has 350 terms and words relating to narcissistic abuse trauma, and most important, narcissistic abuse recovery. Or you can follow me on Instagram at Dr. Tracy Kemble or at Reclaiming Me with Dr. Tracy.
Well, that's great. Thank you. And thank you so much for being not just a guest on the program, but also the amount of help you provide to many, many people. On their behalf, thank you so much for you know, sharing with us today.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to talk to you and to all your audience.
My pleasure. Thank you. Well, there you go. My guest today, Dr. Tracy Kemble, TracyKemble. And we've been talking about her and her new book, Narctionary, narctionary.ary. A great book. And I say, you look on her site and you look at some of the stuff there and everything like that. And this is what's needed sometimes. Just a simple, easy book to explain, to go through the terminology, to go through to let people realize, open their mind to sort of things that might be going on that they wouldn't perhaps realize. That, you know, they accept it for whatever reason even. Great book. And I'm sure, as we've been talking, a help to a lot of people. Well, that's the show for today. Of course, I will be back on Sunday between 5 and 6 with Those Were the Days, Music from the 20th Century, show 312, I think it is, something like that. And running out of themes, as you can imagine. Theme this week, though, is the freezer. I'll just let you think about that. That's the theme. So all the music about for that hour is based from the 20th century to do with the freezer. And after that, from 6 to 7 p.m., of course, we have music from the 60s, in the swinging 60s. And then next Tuesday and Wednesday, I'll be back with a couple more guests here on a book and chat. Book and a chat. But until then, as always, I have one thing left to say. Don't forget...